For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sue Shank. I'm married to our lead pastor, Merle Shank. I'm also the part-time communication coordinator here at Grace Covenant. I love this church. I love how the Lord is allowing me to serve as communication coordinator, and I love to get a chance to share the word with you this morning. So, is everybody aware of what happened on June 21st, this past Thursday, at 6:07 a.m.? Summer. Spring. Well, it was. It was the first day of summer, but it was also Free Iced Tea Day at McAllister's. It was also National Selfie Day. Like, that right there, there's something wrong with that. Just, it's All About You Day. National All About You Day. But it was the first official day of summer. The lazy days of summer are here. But here at Grace Covenant Church, we are not going to get lazy about getting into the Word of God. In fact, today we are starting a summer series called Over All, a study on the book of Colossians, the entire book of Colossians. It's only four chapters, don't panic. But we are going to cover the entire book of Colossians. We'll be devoting each week in the next 8 weeks to certain sections throughout the four chapters. And we want to go deeper and to grow deeper in the knowledge and the insight here in the book of Colossians. Our mission is to love big, grow deep, and go out. And so this summer, we are going to be giving you the opportunity to grow deep by studying the book of Colossians. We're not going to be lazy in our hunger for the Lord during the lazy days of summer. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this new season of summer. I thank you for the new seasons that you're bringing some of us into, Lord. And I thank you that you are Lord over all of the seasons, both in the natural and in the spiritual. So, Father, right now, I just commit this study of the book of Colossians over the next 8 weeks. Lord, each person is at a different place in their lives spiritually, and Lord, you know what they need to hear. So I pray that whatever is spoken, that each person would gain something, Lord. Each person would glean an insight and a word from you. Thanks that your word is still alive and active. Let it be alive and active today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we jump into the first part of chapter 1, I want to give you an overview of the whole book of Colossians and what was actually going on, and also kind of what was going on with Paul, who was the author of the book of Colossians. About 100 years before writing this letter, Colossae had been a leading city in Asia Minor, nowadays Turkey, so it had been like the thing happening. But by the time this letter was written, it had diminished into a second-rate market town. And it was now mostly a pagan city, but it did have a strong intermingling of believers. The interesting thing is that Paul was not personally acquainted with the Colossian church. He had not been there. He'd never been there, and he wasn't the one who shared the good news with them. It's believed that in Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus, a man named Epaphras heard the gospel through Paul, and then he went and shared the gospel in Colossae and started this church there. And it's through Epaphras that Paul hears about the condition of this young church. So, what was going on at this church that Epaphras was so concerned about? Well, there was false teaching. There was heresy. The teaching was questioning the deity of Jesus. Was he really God? Was he the full and exact image of God? And these false teachers started to put emphasis on what the people were eating or what the people were drinking or not eating or not drinking. There was an emphasis on certain festivals. And in Colossians 2:18, it says, they were delighting in self-abasement. They were delighting in belittling and the humiliation of oneself. Like, how can you delight in that? But this was the teaching that was going on. And they also were trying to pull in the worship of angels. This was not good. So Paul is writing to set the record straight, to remind the people that Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, as it says in chapter 1, verse 15. And in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says that in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. So the name of our series is Over All. Jesus is over all. Chapters 1 and 2 of Colossians emphasize the supremacy of God. They're a little bit more doctrinal and corrective. And chapters 3 and 4 are more practical and reassuring. Chapters 3 and 4 kind of show us what our life as believers look like when Jesus is the one who is over all of it. What does my life, what does faith look like when Jesus is over all of my life? And it's not just overall, I follow Jesus. That's really different than Jesus is over all. And it's important. That is important. Because who you believe Jesus to be will impact every area of your life. Your relationships, your attitudes, your thoughts, your words that come out of your mouth. Is he over all of your life, or is he, overall, I follow Jesus? Before we jump into chapter 1, there's one more small but huge detail that I think we need to make note of. And that is that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. In his first imprisonment, he was in prison multiple times for sharing the gospel. He wrote the letter while he was in prison. That fact right there would preach a whole sermon. Honestly. So there's two things I want to point out about that. First of all, again, as I mentioned, he'd never met these people. Never seen them, never met them. And here he is in prison. And one of the things I glean from that is we don't have to be somewhere in person or even know the person in order to be an encouragement and a blessing. You do not need to physically be in front of somebody in order to be a blessing. There are creative ways. Long ago, we used to write letters. You can write letters, you can text people, you can email people, you can be an encouragement to people even when you're not there face to face. And secondly, if you feel like you are in a prison of your own right now, you're in a place that you don't want to be in. You're in a place that isn't ideal. Maybe it feels confining. It's not your preference. Don't turn inward or become self-focused. Paul was in prison. It was not, I can almost guarantee you, it was not where he preferred to be. It was not ideal living situations. But he did not turn inward or self-focused. He kept looking out for others, and he kept looking for a way to be a blessing and to honor Jesus. He kept promoting Jesus. How about you? Perhaps you're not doing what you feel called to do. Paul didn't while he was sitting in prison. Perhaps you're not in the spot that you think you should be. Paul probably didn't while he was sitting in prison. Perhaps you're feeling confined in some regard. Paul certainly did. Perhaps you're not surrounded by the people that you want to be surrounded with. Paul probably wasn't. And perhaps you're not getting the recognition or the platform that you once had or you wanted. Paul probably wasn't. Don't let that stop you from promoting Jesus and encouraging other people. Actually, sometimes it's the best remedy is to stop our focus being inward, poor, poor me, and encourage others and glorify the name of Jesus. Okay, we need to start in chapter one or we're never going to get out of here. I've called this sermon today, No Small Talk. If you're familiar with small talk, if you're not familiar with small talk, it can be defined as polite conversation about unimportant stuff. The weather, sports, love your shoes, the World Cup. Yeah, I knew that would get Merle. That is not small talk to him. That's important stuff. You know, oftentimes a handwritten letter, those old school handwritten letters, would often start with things like, Dear Mary, hi, how are you doing? The weather here in Harrisonburg is rainy. Now it's really hot. The new Aldi grocery store is hopefully going to be opening soon, etc., etc. But in this letter to the people of Colossae, Paul wastes no time with small talk. Actually, he jumps right in to big talk. I don't want us for a second to think, we're going to look at the first 14 verses of chapter 1, and I don't want us for a second to think, well, this is just greeting, this is just filler, like he gets past this big introduction and then we'll get content. No, there's a lot of content in these first 14 verses, and there's plenty of spiritual meat. And we're going to look at the first 14 verses, and I've divided them into three sections with a kind of a theme for each section, starting with the letter G. So there'll be 3G service. Get it? Get it? I know that's old school because now you're on 4G and now apparently 5G is coming in. So I'm going to have the scriptures up here, Colossians 1. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. You are welcome to open up your Bibles in whatever form you have and follow along. In another version, I'm going to read some portions and then dig a little bit deeper into it. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and this is the greeting. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Greek letters written in Paul's time often began with this kind of formula. There was the name of the sender, Paul. There was the name of the recipient to God's holy people. And then there was a form of a greeting. And you see this often. If you look at any of the other letters that Paul's written, he often follows this to, you know, I, Paul, to so-and-so, and then some sort of a greeting. And there's several things to note here. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. This is a little bit different. Most of us usually don't go around saying Christ Jesus. We might say Jesus Christ or Jesus. But Christ Jesus is a little bit less used. But Paul was actually doing this to emphasize the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Christ means Messiah. So he was basically saying, Paul, an apostle of Messiah Jesus. So we're not six words into it, and Paul's like already hammering away at who Jesus is and the supremacy of Christ. An apostle of Messiah Jesus. He doesn't waste any time. He jumps right in. And then he says, by the will of God. By the will of God. Again, the Colossian people had not met Paul, though I can imagine through Epaphras they heard plenty about him, but they had not met him. And so Paul is making the point here that he is an apostle by the will of God in order to establish his authority of writing this letter. He is not self-appointed. He didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll be an apostle. I really want to be an apostle. I think I'll just start being that. He's saying, I was appointed by God. You know, sometimes we can want something so badly that we will push and push and push for it and try to convince ourselves and others that God has called us to do this, that we're God appointed, when the truth is that we're really self-appointing ourselves. Be careful, church. Be careful. Ask yourself, are the ways that I'm serving, are they God-appointed or is it self-appointed? There's a big difference. He says, grace and peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. In this culture, grace was typically used to greet Gentiles and peace was typically used to greet Jewish people. So it is such an appropriate greeting from the same man who says in this book, in chapter 3, verse 11, and in Galatians 3, that there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. Even from prison, Paul is acknowledging all people, all people. I love that. And not only is he acknowledging them, he's blessing them. He is blessing them. How quick are you and I to do the same? How quick are you and I to speak grace and peace and blessing on people? The preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, "Blessed men scatter blessing." When the benediction or blessing, when the benediction of God rests on us, we pour that benediction on others. Blessed men scatter blessing. Be quick to bless people. We can be so quick to criticize, slander, be judgmental. Let's be just as quick to bless people with our words. Who knew there could be so much content in two verses? All right, verses 3-8. Paul continues, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," again, Messiah Jesus, "and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." Go back. And this section I've entitled Gratitude. In this section, Paul is really thankful for the Colossian people, and he compliments them and he commends them. It's interesting to take note that in verses 4 and 5, he talks about your faith in Jesus Christ, your love that you have for God's people. And then in verse 5, he talks about hope. Faith, hope, and love. Where else have we heard Paul talk about that? The famous chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. And here we see it again. Faith, hope, and love. And because of this faith, hope, and love that they had through their relationship with Jesus, Their love for all the saints was very real and practical. It was a very real expression to those around them that their lives had been changed. They loved all God's people, not just those who were just like them. And in a society that was very class conscious, this kind of love only comes from knowing Jesus. And the same should be true of us today. As believers, through Jesus, we should be able to love all God's people. Something should look radically different in the way we love people if we know Jesus. Does it? Paul then reminds them that they are a part of something bigger. He says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you. The gospel wasn't just changing lives there in Colossae. It was working around the whole world. Now, I'm not much of a world traveler. My husband is. He would, you know, go overseas every week if he had the opportunity to. I'm not much of a world traveler, but I will say that one of the things I do love about getting away, well, one is I love being in an airport and people watching, trying to figure out their story. You know, I wonder why they're there. But what it does is, as I people watch, I do tend to think, you know what? They could be in the middle of a crisis. They could be stressed out. They could be going through something really hard. And so when I get away, what it reminds me of is that the whole world isn't focused on Harrisonburg, Virginia, Grace Covenant Church, the Shank family, Sue Shank. Because that's what can tend to happen. I think what's going on in my life is the whole world. And then I get out of my little bubble and I'm like, you know what? There are millions of people who all have crises, who are all stressed out, who are all losing sleep about some things. There's a whole world out there, church. And we need to remind ourselves that we are a part of something way bigger than Grace Covenant Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Then Paul gives a quick shout out to Epaphras. He said, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Who was this man? Well, most Bible scholars would believe that he became a Christian under the teaching of Paul in Ephesus. And Epaphras was so excited about hearing the gospel, having his life changed, that he went back to Colossae and he started a church. He met the Lord and he started a church. He met the Lord and he started a church. Talk about quick church planting. You know, early in 2019, we too are going to start a church. It's actually going to be another campus of this church on the east end of town. It'll be another campus. It's Miss Grace East. If you got your newsletter through email a couple weeks ago, Grace East will be meeting on the east end of town. Its mission, its vision, its values will be the same thing as this church. Its worship, its Grace Kids, its prayer ministry will be the same thing as this church here. The DNA and the feel will be the same. So you might be asking then, so why are we doing that then? Isn't that a little redundant? No, because we want to make more of an opportunity, maybe even an easier opportunity location-wise, for people on the east side of the county to meet Jesus and to grow up in him. Like Epaphras, when you're excited about Jesus, you want other people to hear about Jesus. JJ and Becca Slide, JJ's over here, they are our newest Grace Covenant Church staff members. They're going to be co-pastoring the Grace East campus, And they are excited about Jesus, and they want more people to hear about Jesus. Now, they didn't just meet the Lord and help start this like Epaphras did, but they're excited about sharing Jesus. And so here we see Epaphras setting an example for planting a church. And thousands of years later, we're doing the same. Paul calls Epaphras a dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ. I don't know about you, but I would love for people to use those words to describe me. Faithful, dear, servant. But if we want those words to be said of us, they need to be true of us. They have to be being lived out in our life in order for them to be said of us. Take a second and just ask yourself, I'm going to ask you this question, and then I'm going to just make it silent for 5 seconds. Take 5 seconds right now and ask yourself, what words would someone use to describe me and to describe my faith? The answer to that question in and of itself can speak volumes. It might even be a heart check. It might even be a time for you to reevaluate and say, whoa, I need to get working on some things. Gratitude. And the last section is growth. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Paul has a tendency to have the most run-on sentence I have ever seen as a communications person. I'm like, this is driving me crazy. But apparently this was very typical back then, so I have grace for it. I have to breathe. So that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, for what reason, Paul? What are we talking about here? Because of your love and your faith and your hope. Because we've heard of those things from Epaphras. For this reason, we've not stopped praying for you. To fill you. We've not stopped praying. And he goes on, Paul goes on to pray for growth in the life of the Colossian people. In verse 9, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And then in verse 10, he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. He is praying for growth. And church, this is not a prayer for knowledge of more facts and more concepts and more ideas. In Scripture, knowledge means being intimately acquainted with a person. Being intimately acquainted with a person. So Paul here is urging the Colossian people, get intimately acquainted with God. Get intimately acquainted with God. God wants us to get intimately acquainted with him, to know his will, to understand his purposes and his way of doing things. Family, this can only come about by being in the Word and spending time with him. You have got to get to know him and spend time with him. If you are here today and you're hungry to know more of God, to hear his voice, to know what his will is, then sit down at the table and eat. Feed yourself. Don't always be relying on other people to feed you. Feed yourself. I'm going to take a little motherly moment here. And I'll probably tear up because I'm pretty passionate about this. But in my personal opinion, I'm not speaking for the leadership of this church. I'm not speaking for my husband, who's the lead pastor of this church. In my personal opinion, I think there are a lot of Christians today who are spiritually lethargic and they're not close to God. They want to be at a better place with him, but they aren't taking in meaty food, or worse yet, they're not taking in any spiritual food. Or the other problem is that they're relying on others to feed them. They're relying on spiritual food that others have fed themselves instead of pulling up to the table yourself and eating. Now, I'm not against listening to sermons. You're listening to one right now. I'm not against people listening to podcasts. I do it myself. But we cannot have a steady diet of that. If all you're feeding yourself on spiritually is the food that someone else is feeding you, that's really unhealthy. I can think of two times in the natural where somebody else feeds you, when you're a baby or when you're gravely ill. And there's a season for that in the physical. There's a season. You're a baby. You need other people to feed you. You get sick. You need to have intravenous feeding. There is a season for that. And there's a season for those circumstances spiritually too. There is. We start out as infants in the Lord and we need others to feed us. And we might go through a rough patch in a season where we're sick and we need others to feed us. But it's not healthy to stay there. It's not healthy to always rely on what others have eaten spiritually in order to satisfy your own spiritual hunger. Amen. If we want to grow up in God, and I trust and I hope that you do, then you have got to get into the Word for yourself. You have got to pick this up and open it and read it. And a good indicator on how you're doing is, when is the last time I've done that? When's the last time I've opened my Bible and read it and said, God, what do you want to speak to me through this? According to this passage in Colossians, Paul says, I need to grow in my knowledge of him in order that I can live a life worthy of the Lord. Or in the New American Standard says, which I love, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. If I'm not growing in my knowledge of him and I'm not getting intimately acquainted with him, how in the world am I ever going to know what walking in a manner worthy of the Lord looks like? How will I know what is going to please him for me? And lo and behold, this morning, one of my devotionals that I was reading, it's Sarah Young, Jesus Always, says, to make good, godly choices, you need to know me as I truly am. Search for me in my word. Ask my spirit to illuminate it, shining his light so that scripture comes alive to you. The more you choose to live according to my will, the more you will become like me. I thought, bam, Way to go, Sarah. I mean, yeah, Sarah Young. You know what? If the only way that you respond to what you hear in this message today is that you actually start opening up your Bible, reading it, eating it for yourself, I will be able to say, it is well with my soul. I implore you today, church, feed yourself and grow in God. Feed yourself and grow in God. Get intimately acquainted with Him. And then the best news, I think, in this, well, the whole passage is great, but at the end, Paul says, for He, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, Jesus, in whom you have and I have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And for those of us who are here today, which is probably most of us, who already know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that is true of us. We've been rescued out of darkness. We have forgiveness and redemption of sins. But if you're here today and you're on the fence or you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm asking if you would please make today the day that you leave that dominion of darkness. Because I don't care if you are the nicest, sweetest, most good acting person in Harrisonburg and all of Rockingham County, if you don't know Jesus, you're in the dominion of darkness. No matter how nice and sweet and thoughtful you are, you're in the dominion of darkness until you ask Jesus into your heart to become your Lord and Savior. Come out of that place and simply give your life to Jesus, letting Him be over all of your life. And He will redeem you. He will forgive your sins. I promise He will. And there's going to be an opportunity here in a minute for you to do that. Bev, could you come up? Who would have thought there would be so much meat in Paul's opening words? There's no small talk from him, no filler, no warming you guys up. He jumps right in to some big talk about a big Savior through a greeting, by expressing gratitude, and by encouraging the Colossians and us to grow. Paul is reiterating the fact that Jesus is over all. There's no one higher, and He wants us to let Him reign supreme over all of our lives, every single area. Let's stand. I want to end today by simply praying over you the same things that Paul prayed over the Colossians in these last verses, 9 through 14. If you're comfortable as I pray, you can open your hands as a gift of, Lord, I receive that. If you're not ready to receive it, that's okay. I'm still going to pray it over you. And God can still move over you even if you're not ready to receive it. And after I pray, I'll invite the ministry team up and I'll also dismiss you so there'll be opportunity for prayer as well. So let's pray. I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you would be able to hear His voice and know what His will for you is. I pray that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects. That you would not compromise your conduct in any way in order to get the world's approval, but that you would conduct yourself in a way that pleases the heart of God and makes him smile. I pray that you would bear fruit in every good work that you put your hands to, that your lives would not be wrapped up in doing for yourself, but in doing for others and bearing fruit in all you put your hand to as you minister to others. I pray that you would increase in the knowledge of God, not to accumulate more facts about him, but to get to know him intimately, to hear his voice, to know his purposes, that your desire to feed on his word, to feed your own soul, would only increase, and that the Holy Spirit would illuminate the Bible every time you sit down to read it. I pray that you would be strengthened with power so that you can endure and have more patience. And I pray that you would truly experience the source of that power, the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would be a thankful person, one who joyously and quickly gives thanks and expresses gratitude. And if you're listening to this prayer right now and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and the one who is over all of your life, I pray that today would be the day that you do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Ministry team, would you come up? If you want to give your life to Jesus today, we would love, or even recommit your life to Jesus, we would love to pray with you. You can come on up. There'll be ones to pray with you. We even have a booklet that'll help get you started on your walk with the Lord. And if you want prayer for absolutely anything else, we believe in a God who still heals today, who still speaks today. He is over all the world, and he's over all of your world too. And he's very aware of what's going on in your life. Come if you want prayer for anything. You're dismissed to go, and you're dismissed to come up for prayer. Have a great week.